It's the weekend, and you have financial questions that need answering. That can only mean one thing. It's time for Jill on Money, the show that takes the mystery out of your finances. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
Welcome to Jill on Money. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. And, you know, it can be mysterious at times. I know. But it doesn't have to be. I'm right here for you. Anytime. Could be a tax question.
Time's ticking.
When this show airs in your local market, you'll have basically a week and a half to file your returns. So, tax-wise, are you on the ball? I can't imagine waiting that long to file. On the other hand, maybe there are people who kind of get excited by waiting till the bitter end. Mark, did you file already? No, he filed a million years ago. He filed in 2014 for this year. It's like he was prescient. It was amazing. And he doesn't get money back, he says. But anyway, remember, tax filing, April 18th. If you have a financial question, remember to just give us a holler. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. And if you miss any part of this show, because this is the beginning of the show, and in most of the markets where it airs, it's 2 hours long, just go to our website. It's very easy. JillOnMoney.com. Click on the radio tab, and you can hear the whole show. Pretty great. Okay, let's go and take a call. Nancy is on the line from Missouri. And Nancy, where do you listen to us? On what station?
It's the Mobility Radio Station, KWIX.
Beautiful. I love it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And tell us what we can do for you today.
Okay, so we have a business, and every year we've been putting the maximum in our IRA, which is $6,500 each. So at this point, I'm thinking, because of our age, I'm wondering if we need to keep doing that, because we'll both be 64 in April and May. And when I was talking to my accountant the other day, she said, well, it's about six of one, half a dozen the other.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious as to your opinion on that and what you think.
So right now, just so I'm clear, you have this business, and you're just, is this the main retirement vehicle you have? You've been putting away retirement money in a traditional IRA for years and years and years. Is this new? What's the longer story here?
Well, no, we've had it for quite a while. I put money in it every year.
How much is in there now?
Honestly, probably about $128,000 in each one.
Okay. I love that. Probably about $128,000. It's a very specific number. It's great. So it's $128,000 each. And how much longer are you guys going to work?
Well, my husband is already disabled.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So that's okay. He ran this for a long time, and he's already disabled, but he's on disability now, his Social Security, and he has Medicare.
Okay.
So still run the business. I mean, I run it for 8 or 9 years because he's been disabled and not been here.
Hmm.
But so I've managed to and run the business myself. But
how about money outside of the retirement accounts? If you have 128 each in an IRA, any other money that's set aside?
Yeah, we have a CD, and then we have extra money. Mm-hmm.
So what do you say in the non-retirement bucket, how much is in there approximately? CD, safe money, throw it all in together.
About $300,000.
Okay, great. And you own your own home?
Mm-hmm.
And is the house paid for, or do you have a mortgage?
No, we don't owe anything. Everything we have is paid off.
You're going to stay in this house? Is it okay for your husband in terms of his disability? He can get around it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And if you look at like kind of what you believe the next group of years is going to be for you guys, tell me what that looks like for you.
I'm not sure. I know I would like to retire before too long.
Mm-hmm.
from our business. In a perfect world,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at a term of possibly selling the business, and then being able to retire. to spend more time home with him, which I have employees and two of our children work with us here as well as my other employees.
Wow.
So, yeah. But my long range, my goal, and I have a goal, is to retire in a couple of years.
Okay.
And have the business sold by that time. And that's my goal.
All right.
I have this goal on my computer, and that's my goal.
I love it. How much do you think the business is worth if you were to sell it outright? Not to your kids, but just selling it.
Probably about $800,000.
Okay. And
because we're a small business.
Okay, that's great. That's a good number, girl. Don't worry. Don't have to apologize for that. Okay, so my feeling on this is that based on your income, I understand why the tax preparer says six one, half dozen the other. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I'm not sure for the next few years you need to gather up a lot more cash outside of retirement, but I guess that right now that it doesn't hurt you to have the money in the IRA, but you are going to be forced to take it out and pay tax later. How much money do you make about right now? Give me an approximate.
Probably about $250,000.
You know what? So here's what I would do. I would use the IRA until you retire, and that's that. And you know, is your husband doing it as the non-working spouse also putting money into the IRA?
I have been.
Yeah, I would keep doing it until you retire because your income tax bracket's going to go down. There's no doubt. Okay. So let's do it until you retire. Be done with that. And then, you know, you'll have to be subject to minimum required distributions once you turn 70 and a half, but that's a ways off. I think it probably works for you right now, but given the story that you're the picture you're painting, I think that you're fine. I say use it for now, take the tax deduction, and then you have some money that has been taxed already, that $300,000. You're going to have, let's say by the time you retire, another $300,000 in IRAs, great. And then you're going to have the sale of the business. All of this should help you enjoy a lovely, lovely retirement. And so I think you're doing just fine, Nancy. So keep doing what you're doing and keep your costs down low for the investing part inside of the IRA account. Don't let anybody sell you anything. No big push to buy some insurance product or anything like that, especially before you get that business sold. Once you sell the business, you probably give us a call back. We'll talk about what to do with your $800,000 and figure out a game plan for retirement and kind of how you figure out the way that you can start to create some monthly income from the portfolio. That's going to be your next phase. But for now, all systems go. Thanks so much for calling. You're listening to Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
Have a question? Call anytime, 24-7, 855-411-JILL. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Anthony works in the grocery
store. I'm singing along, although one time I sang along. Hello, it's Jill. It's Jill on Money. It's Jill Schlesinger. One time I sang along with the music, and someone wrote in and asked that I not sing again. So I'm sensitive to your ears. Sorry, gang. All right. You're listening to Jill on Money. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. And I am Jill Schlesinger. And I am your hostess. Mark is producing. You have no idea how much is going on in my little headphones as I'm trying to concentrate. I'm looking at Mark through the glass. He's talking to me. We're singing. And he's saying, reminding me things to do. So here's some reminders. If you miss any part of this program, you go to our website, jillonmoney.com. And you can also find some older shows if you've missed those. You can also check out our new podcast. It's called Better Off. You can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, anywhere else you find your favorite podcast. And by the way, for all of you people who are like, I don't know how to do a podcast. I don't know what that means. I don't know how to. It's really easy. You take out your little smartphone, right? Let's just pretend you have an iPhone because you have a path of least resistance. And then what you do is you click on this purple icon that's on your phone already. It's called Podcasts. Get it? Podcasts. You click on it, and yours, if you've never listened to a podcast, is empty. So you go to the search function, okay? And when you go to that search function, what are you going to search? You're going to search Better Off with Jill Schlesinger. And then you are going to click on that icon. And then you are going to subscribe to the podcast. And then it will automatically end up in your feed. Then you just click on it and you can listen to it whenever you want. Isn't that easy? I think that was a pretty easy description of how to do it. All right. So anyway, Better Off Podcast, check it out. Let's go take a call. Asa, who's on the line from New York. Asa, what's going on? Have you subscribed to the podcast yet?
Not yet.
You're gonna, though.
Probably after this.
Nice. What can I do for you?
First of all, I like your Billy Joel music.
Thank you. You're showing your age. Let's start
there. No. I was a musician for 25 years, so we did a lot of his stuff.
That's awesome. What's your instrument?
Vocal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how I met my wife. I was singing in a jazz club.
Oh, my God. This is so... Well, that's kind of exciting. What were you singing? Or were you in the audience?
No. I was on stage.
What you were singing when you saw her?
Oh, God, yes.
What were you singing?
We did everybody's cover music. Then we did a lot of Ella Fitzgerald-type things and... Just all kinds of good jazz, Ella Fitzgerald, Cole Porter, a lot of great.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you have that Ella Fitzgerald live CD that was just released within the last few years, where it's from, I think, later in her career? It's
I have about 25.
Okay. I got to look this up. But there's like phenomenal stuff on there that was never released. And she's not just does she have a great voice, but she just. So emotional, just brings you into it. It's so amazing to me.
And it's effortless the way she does it.
That's gorgeous. Let's make your financial life effortless. What can I do for you?
Anyway, I've gone through a music career, and when I realized that wasn't going to work out, I went to an aviation career.
Okay.
And I flew for a major airline I won't mention. And we had an employee stock option program where we were all supposed to receive, like many, many pilots, were we supposed to receive close to $1 million at the end of it.
Mm.
And the owners kind of did the Enron thing and kept buying this and buying that. And we went to court on it for 14 years, and they settled out of court for $2,500 is what everybody ended up with.
Oh, God.
Even our attorneys went pretty much bankrupt trying to get this for us. So then I went to another great company, which I was really lucky to get hired with. And I'm sure you're very familiar with. It's a Berkshire Hathaway company, whom I fly with.
Oh, nice.
Fly four, I should say.
That's great.
And luckily, had another third chance in my life to accumulate close to $500,000 or $600,000, because they contribute 50% of your 401k to what you're put in, which is kind of unheard of.
Fabulous. So you got about so you have like 500 grand in retirement there.
We have like 570,000.
Okay.
So I went to another big investor. I'm not know if I'm allowed to say these companies on your line.
Whatever you want.
Okay. So I went to Charles Schwab, and they recommended that we go to a smaller company. And I met with a representative in Syracuse, and we sat down, and they took half of our money.
Mm-hmm.
And when the stock market was at 11. And it came up to 16, and they didn't make $1 for us.
What?
No,
you got to work hard to do that.
I know.
Okay.
I know. So I was really discouraged because we'd lost so much money in 2008 like everybody else.
Mm.
But I stayed patient, and we didn't take anything out, and it all came back. So then what we did, I got really gun-shy a couple of years ago, and I put everything in a Morley Stable Fund. And it, of course, you know, that doesn't do anything. It
right.
just keeps it there whether the stock market goes up or down.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like we've really lost out. And now me being 65 and my wife being 55, we're not sure what direction to go, whether just to leave it. Everything we have is paid for except for one car, which will be paid off next year. But we own our farm, we own our cars, and we don't have any credit card debt.
So she's 55. Is she still working?
She's a full-time portrait artist. Yep, that's
okay.
what she does.
And so the 570 that you have in retirement, you've owned everything outright. Do you have any other money that's invested or in cash or any other just sort of sloshing around fund?
Just a savings account with like $40,000.
Okay. And how much do you guys need to live on, your guess?
You know, seriously, we're like so non-materialistic. So I'm guessing maybe $40,000 a year.
Okay.
Because the area that we live in is extremely, it doesn't cost much to live here.
And you're not going to get any pension from your old, from being in this airline. And and what about your wife? How long do you think she'll be working? Is she the kind of person who's like, I'm going to just keep working forever? Or how do you feel about like what?
Well, she's very, very well known in the portrait industry. She's been on CNN and NBC, and she does quite well with her portraits. And, you know, she says she doesn't want to paint much more than about 7 or 8 more years.
Okay. And
I'm concerned about her insurance because I can get on Medicare. So
right. Although now that you have the Affordable Care Act, it's actually there.
How long it lasts.
I know, right? you've gotten some Social Security estimates. If you said you're done and you're at your full retirement age, what would your Social Security check be?
It would be like $2,700 a month, I believe.
Okay, that's good.
So, yeah, that's really good. So
I mean,
that would put us over $30,000, and I figured, well, if I take another 10 to 15 out of my retirement.
And then you're fine. Yeah. Okay, so, and that's fine. I think the bigger question is that, you know, what you're going to do with that money. I feel like you are, okay, so you could conceivably take money out of this portfolio and it would probably last, but if it's sitting in cash, it's going to get tight as you get older. And because she's younger, I am going to suggest that I think you should talk to somebody who can help guide you. I know, I'm not saying that person has to invest the money for you. I get that you're gun shy. But I also want to say that you may be 65. You could live another 30 years, and certainly your wife will. And I think it's important for you to get some of that retirement money to work. So what I would do is, forgetting about the Charles Schwab recommendation, I would go find myself 2 or 3 other advisors. And I'm going to tell you what, Mark's going to get you, pick your phone call up right now, and he's going to get your contact info. I'm going to send you some ideas, and hopefully they'll be able to help you out, because we got to get some of that money to work to do better. You are listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Want to get in touch? Call or email any day, anytime, 855-411-JILL, or askjill@jillonmoney.com. Just because
you find yourself. You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. We will get you on the air live. You can send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. And what else? You know what, Mark? Do you think that we should actually get a cowbell in here? I don't know. So I could say the following. If you can't get enough of Jill and Mark, like you can't get enough cowbell, and then we'd ring the cowbell, right? And then I'd do the next part. What do you think? He's laughing now. I think he's laughing at me, not with me. Okay. If you can't get enough of me and Mark, the best producer in the world, you can check out our podcast, Better Off. Better Off. You can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, anywhere else you find your favorite podcast. You know what else is cool about it? Is you can download it, you can listen. We've got two different things. We do twice a week. Tuesdays, we put out a bonus call of the week. Thursdays, we do a show with an interview and a call. And you can save it up. You can listen to it. You can listen to it during the week. So if you don't want to wait until the weekend to listen to this show, you can download the podcast. Totally different. Different stuff on that podcast than we do here on this show. So check it out, the Better Off podcast. If you are already a Better Off listener, then can you go leave us a review on iTunes, please? Those are some nice recent reviews, Mark, in the last week or so. Because Mark's excited that he got mentioned because he is the best producer in the world. You know what? This show, Jill on Money, as well as my podcast, as well as so much in my life, would not be what it is without Mark. You're laughing. He's laughing through the glass, but it is absolutely true. There's an enrichment of having a working relationship where you just, you know, you're in each other's brains. We barely communicate verbally. We just, you know, all right, we talk. Well, we talk a lot. We talk more than once a week, I think. I mean, we're in the studio at least once a week, usually twice a week. Email, text, mostly text. Ever since I got those Bitmojis, he doesn't like. I like it. I think it's cute. I got the headphones on. That's kind of fun. Bitmoji. That's where it comes from. Yeah. Check it out. Free app. All right. don't forget also CFP. You want to work with a CFP? Go to Jill on Money. All right. You know why? Because I am the CFP board senior ambassador. So let me be the ambassador for them. Go to JillOnMoney.com. Just click on the tab at the top called CFP board and you can go find yourself a certified financial planner. Someone who's got that designation. Who's a fiduciary or held to the fiduciary standard. Okay. Howard writes, I was listening to you this morning on my way to work and I thought I'd email you for advice. I'm a 59-year-old physician's assistant. I make around $120,000 a year. My wife makes about $40,000 a year. Our home, which is worth about $400,000, will be paid off in 6 months. Yoo-hoo! I have around $700,000. It's spread out among three different brokerage companies due to changes in employers over the years. It's all in stocks or mutual funds. I'm not going to get any kind of pension. I'm worried about having enough to retire on in a few years, and I'm worried that if the stock market were to fall, so too would my retirement. We have a second house that's worth $200,000. We rent it out, which covers just a little bit more than the monthly mortgage payments. We owe $100,000 on the second home, no other debt. My questions are, one, should I diversify more or stay in stocks and mutual funds? Question two, should I combine the three different accounts into one for simplicity? Number three, should I have a certain percentage in cash? Number four, I would like to retire or at least slow down some after 30 plus years in the emergency department has taken a toll on me, I bet. I'm in good health, but I live in a high stress environment. Any ideas on how to keep my money growing? And any other thoughts would be greatly appreciated. Okay, first of all, you're 59. So let's start with, you can maybe slow down some, but you can't retire yet. Let me do the questions, but not in your order. Should I combine the three different accounts into one for simplicity? Yes, if you can. It depends. Are you saying that there's three old accounts that are out there that are legacy accounts that you could roll over into one IRA rollover account? Then do it. If there are three accounts moving around out there in the universe and you have a current retirement account to which you are contributing and it's a good plan, you could put it all into that account. But yes, I like simplicity and efficiency. Now, one in three, should I diversify more or stay in stocks? And should I have a certain percentage in cash are related. You should have 6 to 12 months of whatever you spend now, your expenses, you should have that in cash. That's one thing. That's your emergency reserve. But part and parcel to question one, I'm not sure why you have individual stocks. But if you're asking whether you should have 100% of your money in an asset class called stocks or equities, the answer is no. You should probably have some cash, some bonds, some stocks, some U.S. stocks, some international stocks, some big stocks, some small stocks. That's what you should do. And if you don't know what your asset allocation should be, then you should try to futz around with various websites, play with an asset allocation with a risk questionnaire. In my mind, you're 59 years old and you really want to slow down and you got $700,000. Maybe by the time you retire, you'll have $1 million. That $1 million, that can generate $30,000-$35,000 a year. That's what you can count on. So, and you talk about like you'd like to slow down. If you can live on $35,000 a year, plus your Social Security, plus your wife's Social Security, then you're golden. If you are feeling like that's not enough money, you're going to have to keep working longer and try to accumulate more money. I'm hopeful that you would want to stick around till maybe you're 65, not working quite as hard, but allowing that money to grow. That's what I think. I hope that helps, Howard. You're on track. It's okay. You're listening to Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. We'll be right back.
Annuities, IRAs, 401ks, she covers it all. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger.
You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd want to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. Time is ticking down until tax day, gang. So you have next weekend also. Don't forget, you got a couple extra days because of the Washington, D.C. holiday, Emancipation Day. So if you've got tax questions, last-minute tax tips, you need to know something about what to do, you got just one little itty-bitty, just let us know. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. And don't forget that if you are looking for some more financial advice besides just a show, you can check out the Certified Financial Planning Board of Standards website, letsmakeaplan.org. You know, I'm the CFP board senior ambassador, so I'm going to ambass. What's that right word? I'm going to be your ambassador to the organization. Mark's taking the CFP classes. He's heavy duty into life insurance right now, so he comes in with a question every week. Why shouldn't you? Let us know. All right, let's go take a call. It's Catherine who's on the line from Delaware. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to Jill on Money. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. How are you, Jill?
Great. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm in an annuity for quite a long time, since about 2005.
Okay.
And I heard just, I don't remember even who said that they keep your money at the end when you die. Your beneficiaries don't get it. But I called and they said, no, that wasn't right.
Well, there are different kinds of annuities. And, you know, you are correct. There's one old kind of annuity, which basically you would pay into that annuity. And then once you annuitized it, and you started receiving payments, the payments would last as long as you lasted. You would die and it would be done. But then everybody started saying, wait one second, that does not feel good to me because I really would like to be able to make sure that my heirs get some of that. So then you have different choices when you have an annuity where, you know, if it's annuitized, you can say, well, I want to make sure that the money comes out at least for 10 years or 20 years. This is called period certain. There can be beneficiaries named for that stream of payments. And if you die before you annuitize, it is a life insurance contract, so there will be a beneficiary. So I don't know if you maybe read something about something called a tontine, which is an old, like hundreds year old type of annuity policy, where it is a little bit different, where the money just goes into a pool. But your annuity, my guess is you're fine. Your heirs are going to get it. But do me a favor, just make sure that your beneficiary designations are exactly who you want to be. Because you know what happens? Sometimes life changes and maybe you left a spouse and that spouse is no longer with you. Or maybe you've got kids or maybe you want just one kid. Whatever it is, make sure the beneficiaries are named exactly as how you want them right now. Okay, Miss Catherine?
Okay, yeah, I have a son and a daughter, and they're the beneficiaries.
Great. And is this the money that you are relying on for retirement?
No, not exactly. They give me an RMD, a required
minimum distribution.
Yes, and every year. Now, this year I got $2,750.87, which was wonderful.
All right.
And I love that RMD every year. It was a little less every year. You know, it's a little more every year.
Right, right. Well, I think that you don't have to worry. Make sure those beneficiary designations are great and lined up how you want them. And keep making sure that RMD comes out and spend your money wisely. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Just remember, Mark is asking this question right now about whether a will, you know what, you're now becoming a total pain in the neck, but I love it. So Mark just says, hey, wait, does a will override a beneficiary? No. Here's the situation. There are contracts that trump, I hate using that word now because now it feels loaded, that override everything. A contract where there is a named beneficiary is something that is outside of your will. So what does that mean? A life insurance contract. An annuity is a type of life insurance, is part of a life insurance company. A retirement plan. You name that beneficiary, it's on there. Doesn't matter what's in your will. Contracts pass outside of your will. Those things are separate. And that's why beneficiary designations are so important. It's also why that when people, you know, they get divorced, they break up with girlfriends, people die, whatever happens, it's important to update those beneficiaries. Because once you die, that beneficiary designation, that sticks. There's no contesting that one. I guess you could, but I just don't think, it's pretty ironclad. So beneficiary designation, life insurance, retirement plan, even contracts like real estate contracts. If you own a property jointly with a right of survivorship, that is a contract. Essentially, it's not really, but that titling means that the property will pass to the other person who you own that property with whom you own that property. Don't want to end with a preposition. Then that property passes without going through the probate process. Beneficiaries, titling, all these things are really important. It's why I think that estate planning is also something that we just need to concentrate a little bit more on that. Okay? All right. It's Jill on Money. Give us a holler with your estate planning questions or any other questions. 855-411-JILL. And send us an email. AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. We'll be right back. You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we want to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. So Mark's taking the certified financial planning course, right? So, yeah, every single week now I got different questions. But it's good because you're asking questions as they come up. And you're asking questions that we always get as emails anyway. So I might as well answer them. Remember, now that I'm the CFP board senior ambassador, something I should be shamelessly promoting, I might get a tattoo on my forehead. It might be great. Okay, maybe I won't. Anyway, Mark says he was wondering why someone would actually have permanent life insurance, meaning whole life, universal life, variable universal life. And usually when I think about insurance, I try to keep it in the category of, do you need insurance first? Right? If your death would result in somebody suffering financially, then you probably need insurance. And the normal course of action is that you would need insurance for as long as you had some sort of like a hole in your net worth. So you're a young couple, you have kids, and if one of you were to die, that would be a problem for the other one. You'd want to set some money aside for education, pay off some debt, put money together for to help fund your survivor's retirement, all those things. Then as you get older and you save more money, you actually save enough money to kind of obviate the need for any insurance. And so that's why you would buy term life. And pretty much, I mean, 9 times out of 10, term is all you need. But if you have an estate issue, maybe you have a special needs child, maybe you've got to have some liquidity upon your death for some reason, a closely held business, then you may actually need permanent life insurance, something that stays with you for your entire life. There, Mark, your own special lesson. It's Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. And then send us an email if you can. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.